certainly a blessing to be here and see each and every one of you. I know it seems hot in here to me. I don't know if it ever does to everyone else. Are you hot, Brother Randall? Brother David turned that down, so it does seem hot. It says not to turn him down under 70, but seems like it's extremely hot in here. Very thankful for the song service, and certainly thankful for the very humble prayer offered up on our behalf. I certainly ask that you would continue to pray for me as I try to speak from God's Word. We were certainly blessed over last weekend to have some wonderful preaching by Elder Stephen Bloyd, one of my dearest friends and a great blessing to me in my life. And we had a great song service and great attendance, and I just hope and pray that we'll take the messages that Brother Stephen preached, and it might be a benefit to our lives, and it might be beneficial. I think that when we hear the Word of God preached, if God's blessing it, it ought to make a difference in our life, and we ought to take heed to it. And if the Lord would bless you this morning, I'd like to take as my subject the subject of wisdom. You know, wisdom is something that you hear spoken of a lot in the world. It's spoken of a lot in the Word of God. I believe there's a great misunderstanding about what wisdom really is. We're told in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that verse 7, it says, they're ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. A lot of folks mistaken knowledge for wisdom. They believe that if they learn enough things and they go out in the world and they do enough things, that by doing these things they will become wise. But Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I believe it is verse 19, he says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Well, the Bible tells us that God will not divide his own kingdom just as Satan wouldn't. So the wise here that's going to be destroyed are not those who are filled with God's wisdom. It's those who are filled with their own wisdom, the wisdom of man, the wisdom of this world, the ideas that we see on television and at the workplace and in the schools and everywhere you go about in this world. He goes on to tell us over in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, he says in verse 6, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught." Paul says, I'm not speaking the wisdom of this world or the wisdom of princes or kings or presidents. You know, we have a president in power here, and Paul's not preaching or proclaiming God's word based upon the principles or the wisdom of this world. He says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." Wisdom is a wonderful thing. And when you find somebody who is wise, who God has granted to have wisdom at a very young age, you find somebody that's very, very special. We're told in the Bible, in Proverbs, that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of a correction will drive it far from him. We know that foolishness or a fool is opposite of someone who has wisdom. But often in the world, many people mistake foolishness for wisdom. You know, man's wisdom is foolishness in the sight of God. It really is. Man becomes educated. He goes to high school or to junior high. He goes to further his education in college and many other areas of life. And they begin to think that obtaining all this knowledge and going through all this experience makes them wise. But the Bible tells us that's not where wisdom comes from. True wisdom comes from God himself and God alone. We find that when a person is truly wise and not foolish, he's able to exercise the knowledge that he has. He's able to correctly apply knowledge. You know, it's one thing to have a lot of knowledge and to learn a lot and not be able to apply it. We have a lot of educated fools, if you would, in this world. They are educated beyond their own means and their own understanding. You know, if you have godly wisdom, you have some understanding to how things are. We understand that we're not going to live here for the entirety of our life. that we're just sojourners. As Abraham said, we're pilgrims. We're just passing through. We're here today and we're gone tomorrow. It's only by God's wisdom can we have a clear picture of what our lives should be about. And it's only from God that we can obtain this wisdom. The definition of wisdom is the right use of knowledge or the exercise of knowledge. You know, it's one thing, and I think it's important that you might want to gain knowledge. You might want to learn from books, and I think learning is a process that we need to undergo every day of our life. Reading's good for you. It helps to establish your thoughts and your minds, exercise your senses, especially your reading and your ability to be disciplined in those areas of your life. But we also need to be able to apply wisdom to knowledge. You know, the Bible gives us the greatest example of the man who was granted the greatest gift of wisdom in the entire Bible. Let's go for just a moment to 1 Kings chapter 3. In 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, "There, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" We're going to begin here to see that Solomon, he was anointed king to set up on the throne over Israel after his father David passed. And yet he seen himself as a little child in the midst of a great multitude of people. And, you know, his greatest concern is, how am I going to rule over these people? How am I going to judge these people? How am I going to be king over these people? So the first thing you find that he done here is he kneeled down and prayed to God. And we're going to find that he didn't pray for a life of riches and honor and glory. He didn't pray that he would have things of this earth, but we're going to find out that God was so pleased with his prayer that he blessed him with things that he didn't pray for. He goes on and says, "And the speech pleased the Lord, and saw that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, Because thou hast asked this thing, hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart." We're going to find out as we go along this morning that a wise and understanding heart is more valuable than all the money you can pile into your bank account. See, the ones who believe that's not the truth are the ones who have not God's wisdom dwelling within them. You know, a fool is unable to reason or understand. And we know that the Bible says that most of us as children had foolishness bound in our hearts. I know that I did. You know, we thought we would go our own way and we'd do our own thing. We'd build our own life. And I even believed that I could do all this apart from God. But I come to find out that in due time that I couldn't live my life. I couldn't be a success. I couldn't attain anything apart from God's grace, apart from his mercy and his goodness. For he blessed me even when I wasn't acknowledging him, when I had very little wisdom in me to understand things. Now, I still lack wisdom, and I still pray that God would grant unto me wisdom, as you can pray, and God upbraideth, giveth to all men, and he does not upbraid it. We'll look at that over in James in a moment. But wisdom is a very necessary element in our lives. You know, when we think about wisdom, we think about it in two senses, in a spiritual sense and a natural sense. When you make decisions in life, do you make them based on wise counsel? You know, we have a certain amount of income, most of us, to spend. Do we think it through? Do we look at every avenue and every possibility? Do we seek out wise counsel? Or do we just jump at the thought of what we want? Wisdom's a lot different than rash thinking. Those who are not wise are unable to reason or unable to understand. It's easy to do things and not apply wisdom to them in life. Many decisions we make, sometimes they're rash, and we don't count all the consequences or the end thereof to circumstances in our life. We just jump out and do things, and sometimes they don't turn out the way that we ought or the way that we'd like them to turn out. Solomon here, he sought God. Here he was, king over Israel. He sought the Lord first and foremost because he knew without God's help, there was no way he could judge such a great people. He says, "Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee." Solomon was granted by God himself more wisdom than any man that ever lived before him. And the Lord said, "There'll be no man come after him that'll have your wisdom." You know, one of the greatest examples of wisdom, we'll see here in a moment before we move on, is in the wisdom that he used with the two harlots. Verse 13 says, "And I've also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anything the kings like unto thee all thy days." You reckon what Jesus meant when he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee"? Do you believe that the wise thing in your life is to seek out God first and foremost in every area of your life? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledging, and he shall direct thy paths. Do we trust and believe that in our hearts? If the wisdom of God is dwelling within you, you'll understand your need for him is far greater than his need for you. We need him on a daily basis. We need him in every decision we make, even from the smallest decisions to the greatest decisions. Wisdom is something that I believe is lacking among God's people in this country today, and especially among our young people. You know, when we make decisions and we have our budgets and everything else that goes on, we need to use wisdom in managing those things and doing the things that we ought to. We need to seek God's help. You know, we're to pray about anything. The Bible tells us that. About our daily lives, about our budgets, about how we spend our money, about how we do anything in this world. We're to seek God. Be careful for nothing. Begin everything by prayer and supplication. Make your wishes, make your thoughts, make your desires known unto God. He hears your prayers. And we need to ask for his help. You know, sometimes I used to think, unless it was a big situation in my life, there was no reason to ask God for help. But the Lord says to pray about everything, to seek his guidance in all areas of our life. Solomon went on, and we know that after God granted him this wisdom, that there were two harlots that came to him. And instead of reading all the verses, it continues here in the third chapter. We know that they both had young children, or babies, or infants. And they were sleeping one night, and one of them rolled over on his child, and the child suffocated and died. So during the night, while the other mother was asleep, she went and switched her dead infant with the living mother's infant. Well, we all know as mothers, or I'm not a mother, but I think all mothers know their children. She wasn't fooled for a moment by the fact that these babies had been switched. So the case came before Solomon. This is one of the great acts of wisdom that we see in Solomon at the beginning when he began to rule over the children of Israel. Basically what he said was, after they both brought their case to him, he told his servant to bring him a sword. He said, "I will cut the baby in half, and one of you can have half of him, and the other one can have the other half." Well, you know, a mother's love for her child is close to the love that Jesus Christ had for us, as you'll get in this world. They love their children. They want to protect their children at all costs. And Solomon, in his great wisdom, knew that. So the mother of the living child rose up and said, "No, give it to the other woman." And immediately, Solomon, in his great wisdom, knew that the mother of the living child gave up her child so that child might live and might continue on. She was giving back the child, but that was the wisdom that Solomon used. And they come all over the world to hear Solomon and his wisdom. The Queen of Sheba came, and they brought many gifts unto Solomon. He was a rich man. But wisdom is something that you and I so desperately need. And the book of Proverbs talks about wisdom over and over. You know, it tells us about a fool and also foolishness in Proverbs. And that is the opposite, if you would, of wisdom. We're told in Proverbs 1 and verse 7. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know, I think we all go through a period of that in our lives, especially in our youth. You know, we despise instruction. We despise being brought to the house of the Lord sometimes as children, but mom and dad may have made us come. But I'll tell you right now that God's wisdom is something each one of us need. And the earlier you can grab hold of this wisdom in your life, the greater your life will be, the more blessed your life will be, the more understanding you'll have to why you're here. You won't be questioning what is my purpose upon this earth, because you'll know the purpose in your life is to live for the Lord, to glorify His name, and to understand that He loves you with an unconditional love and that you're willing to serve Him every day of your life. You know, we can go out and enjoy God's creation. We can enjoy all the things that God has given us in this life. But we ought to want to put the Lord first all the time, not just when it's convenient. Those that have been granted godly wisdom and true wisdom understand these things far better than those that have not asked for the wisdom that God can grant us. We need God's wisdom. I encourage you to pray for it. We know in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 5. It says, O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. We need to seek understanding in our lives. We need to seek why we're here, and it's to serve and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that Jesus Christ is wisdom? He is our wisdom. He is the fountain of wisdom. He is the one that will direct us and give us what we stand in need of to make proper decisions, to make correct decisions. You know, the world will tell you how you ought to live and how you ought to act and how you ought to conduct yourself. But if you're wise and you've been granted wisdom from God, you'll seek out your life and the way that you live and the way that you ought to act throughout God's word, not according to what the world has to say, not according to what some man has to say. You know, wisdom is a precious thing. It really is. We're told in Proverbs is full of Solomon's Proverbs, the wisest man that ever lived. Notice what it says in chapter 3 and verse 15. She, talking about wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. How many of you here today really believe that wisdom is more precious than rubies? More precious than gold or silver or any amount of money that you can stuff into your bank account to buy the goods and the things of this earth? You know, when Solomon was blessed with this understanding and the ability to judge the children of Israel, God added all those things to his life that he didn't ask for. That's exactly what Jesus says in seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee. We're not to seek first the things of this world, and when it's convenient, then we go out and seek the Lord. Unfortunately, a great deal of my life, that's what I did. I sought the things of this world. I sought my own pleasures, my own ways. But see, the Lord has a way of dealing with us. The Lord can bring us to an understanding that men can't bring us to. We need to be filled with the wisdom of God. We need it. It will instruct us. It will be an ornament of grace around our neck all the days of our lives. We think about wisdom being profitable. Notice what it says in the 14th verse. For the merchandise, and that word means profitable or profit, for the profit or merchandise of it, that is wisdom, is better than the profit of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Can you imagine that if you were filled with wisdom, that you would have more profit in your life than you could have possibly have with gold or silver or precious rubies? Doesn't sound possible, does it? You know, we all think in terms of money so often. But a man who is wise has something that the rich man who never had wisdom will never have. He has God's teachings and God's understanding. I think one of the greatest blessings of wisdom is to understand, as Abraham did, our time here is very short. Solomon again tells us in Ecclesiastes that life is very brief. It's very short. And death is very certain. But yet, the distractions can be so great in this world, the entertainments and all the things that go on, sometimes we're taken away from God and we do not apply God's wisdom to each and every day of our lives. We need to, because we're here today and we're gone tomorrow. Our purpose upon this earth is to live to honor and to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that in Luke chapter 2, in verse 40, talks about Jesus when he is born, and it says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." He is our fountain of wisdom, the Lord Jesus Christ. When the word of Christ dwells in you richly, then you will be able to obtain wisdom that other folks will not be able to attain. He is wisdom. He is our righteousness. That's what I believe Proverbs chapter 3 is telling us there. We begin at 13th verse and we'll reread some. But it says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom." Isn't that interesting? You'd have thought it said, "Happy is the man who filled his vaults full of gold and silver. Bought up all the things of this world. Got everything lined out." That isn't what it said, is it? "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." Do you understand your purpose on this earth? Do you understand where you get your goods from? Do you understand that all the blessings you receive come from God, whether you acknowledge them or not? You know, that's the most amazing thing to me in my life, is to realize there are multitudes of God's children that never acknowledge God on any given day, and yet God continues to bless them. God continues to fill their life with goodness. Now that's what you call unconditional love. That's what you call amazing grace. It amazes me. It amazed me in my own life. "For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof of fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her." We're told by Solomon himself here, there's nothing that you can compare to wisdom. Not a thing. And those that find her have found something of great price. It goes on and says, those who find this wisdom, those that are happy, it says, "Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor." Long days. We know that Solomon was granted this great wisdom, and all the things of this world were added unto him. But you know, still we find in Solomon's case that the goods of the world and the money of this world led him astray. It says, "Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace." Do you know, if you want to live a life of peace in the church and outside the church, in your community and in your neighborhood, you need to be filled with God's wisdom. Because man's wisdom would lead us to live an unpeaceable life, a life that's not fulfilling, a life that will bring lots of disappointments. Notice verse 18, "She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And happy is everyone that retaineth her." You know, I think you can find that Solomon didn't retain her. How many of God's people have been blessed at some point in their life with godly wisdom? They laid hold upon it, and yet they did not retain it. They didn't continue in it. We find God's wisdom delivered to us in His Word. Proverbs is full of it. It teaches us how to live and how to conduct ourselves, and not to live according to this world, but according to the Lord Jesus Christ, that He should be first and foremost in our lives. We know that there are many characteristics of those who have wisdom. James tells us that over in James chapter 3. In James chapter 3, it says in verse 13, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you?" The third chapter of the book of James deals with the tongue. It deals with the ability of a man to control his tongue. And it says, "Let him show out of good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." A wise man is one who can control his tongue, among other things. But that's what's under consideration in James chapter 3. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. You know, there's a lot of wisdom out here in this world that's not according to God. It's not God's wisdom. It's the wisdom of devils. It's the wisdom of Satan that leads us astray. It's the wisdom of this world that is not a friend to God, has no use for God. We need to be filled with God's wisdom every day, that we be not led astray, that we not walk down the wrong paths in our life. We need God's wisdom to fill us, that we might understand our purpose here. It is to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I tell you, we're going to wake up in short order, just as we've had funeral after funeral, and many more will come, and our time will have passed from this earth. It won't be long. Time draweth nigh in every one of our lives. You know, when you're young, you think life is so long. And when you get a little older, you begin to see the end in sight. It's not long down there. And when you compare it to eternity, you realize that this is nothing but a moment. It is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. May we be blessed all the days of our life to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about the other characteristics. It says, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. The wisdom that descends down from God is pure. It's not full of confusion. It's not full of every evil work. It's not full of strife. It says it's first pure, then peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. This is the kind of wisdom you and I need to seek out. This is the only wisdom that we can find that it comes from God. All other wisdom that this world has, but God said he would destroy it. He said, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. You know, it says that the preaching of the cross is foolishness unto them that perish. You know, they don't see any wisdom in that. They don't see any wisdom in serving the Lord. Everything about God is foolishness in their eyes. I learned a long time, you can't change what a fool thinks. Because God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there's any that didn't understand. He said they were fools. They didn't understand. And we can't change the mind and heart of a fool. Only God can do that. By God's rich blessings and by his mercy. We know that if we're to have wisdom, there's only one place to seek it. And that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the fountain of wisdom. Notice here in the same book of James, as we begin to close this morning, he says in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. If you don't have the wisdom to make the right choices and understand that it is God that blesses you in every part of your life, he blesses new life into existence. He blesses the air you breathe today. Acknowledge that God is in control of our lives, and that God might have the preeminence, the Lord Jesus Christ, in your life. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men. You know, God will grant the wisdom that you need. Pray about it and openly listen to God's prayer. He gives it to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. We need wisdom. Our children need wisdom. Our young people to understand that God comes first and foremost. There's nothing that should be more important in our lives than the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's exactly what Solomon did. He sought first God's kingdom in judging those people and doing what God would have them to do. And did he lack? No, there was never a man richer on this earth than Solomon. But he put the Lord first, and he built the temple, and he built his own house. If you lack wisdom in this world and you don't understand that God is number one in your life, pray to the Lord. That's where it begins. When we ask God, pray. We notice that also in the book of Acts, we find this very wisdom that was given in Acts chapter 7, verses 9 through 10. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him and delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. You remember the story of Joseph. He was a wise man. You know what made Joseph so wise and why we understand that he was so wise? In all the problems that he had. His family shunned him, sold him into slavery. Then Potiphar's wife sent him, was the cause of him going to prison because she lied. And then he stayed there a lot longer. But he never lost sight of the Lord. He never lost sight of God. That was the testimony that he had, was filled with God's wisdom, just as Acts chapter 7 here says. We notice back over in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6, "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of the mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." If you want to understand your life and the problems you're having and what's going on, pray to God that he would give you the wisdom that you so stand in need of. We all stand in need of it, every one of us. We need God's wisdom. "He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler or a shield to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the ways of the saints. Then shall thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge, it is pleasant unto thy soul. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee." When our hearts are filled with God's wisdom, we shall be preserved regardless of what's going on here in this world. And we'll have an understanding that the world can never give us. We need to understand those things, and we need to ask God daily for his wisdom as we go through a world that is rough and it's bumpy. And it's always telling us the things that we should or should not do that are not according to God's word. Let's notice one other verse as we begin to wind down here in the 21st chapter of Proverbs, in the 30th verse. It says, "There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord." All true wisdom is of the Lord. All this other wisdom shall be destroyed and brought to naught. True wisdom is of the Lord. And we close in the 9th chapter of the same book of Proverbs with 3 verses. And I think it's very important and something that you and I should always understand. It's verses 8 through 11. It says, "Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Rebuke a wise man and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man and he will yet be wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Until we get that clearly in our minds, we'll be apt to walk in foolish ways, to take on foolish things in our life. The fear of the Lord, the reverence of God, Almighty God, understanding that Jesus should have the preeminence in our lives, is the beginning of wisdom. That's where it begins. And then God says when we pray to him that he will give it to every man liberally, and he will not upbraid it nor take it away. The Lord ought to be first. If he blesses you to have a family, if he blesses you to have a job, if he blesses you to have food upon your table, it's not by your own hand or by this world that you obtain those things. You know, even the wicked are blessed by God and do not even realize it. They do not acknowledge it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. This is where real, true wisdom begins in our lives, to understand our purpose and to understand how we're going to make it from day to day and how we're going to overcome the troubles that we're in, the challenges that we'll face. You know, Solomon had a lot of challenges, but he was filled with God's wisdom. We need to pray that God would give us the wisdom to rule our families. He was trying to rule Israel. But we just pray, God, give us the rule to rule our families, to control our families, to judge our families, and to have them do the right thing, to do the right thing out in the workplace and in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Solomon was the multitude was a number that no man could count. At least he couldn't count them. And it took forever to count them. But we need that wisdom in our own families. Even though it be a smaller number, God's wisdom will bless us as we go through life's journey. May the fear of the Lord be the beginning of wisdom in each and every one of our lives. I thank you for your attention this morning.